What about though, like media like the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times? They're known for supposedly being, I was brought up that they were supposed to be good journalists and honest. So, on the New York Times is, I live in New York, is people respected greatly. So, how come they're not breaking this information if they're supposed to be unbiased and on everyone's side?
You have to
Right.
ask them. I got called by a journalist from a highly prestigious newspaper, and was asked some. The journalist was an FDA reporter, and she asked me, "Did I have? Did what was I thinking about? Did I have any information?" And I said, "Boy, this drug Leqembi that I talked about before for Alzheimer's disease, this drug Leqembi really needs to be covered. I mean, the public is being misled by the press that's coming out, and the New England Journal articles aren't telling the whole story." And so she was kind of excited about that, and then got back to me 2 weeks later and said that the senior writer wasn't going to cover that. Now, this is one of the biggest stories in medicine. This drug could cost Medicare $10 billion, $20 billion, $40 billion a year. And it looks like the clinical benefit, there's no evidence that the clinical benefit is worth anything, let alone $26,000 a year. So I don't understand. Bob and I were talking about this before we got on. I don't understand why the newspapers, there's something that makes the honest, incisive reporting that ought to be in the newspaper's interest to attract subscribers and readers doesn't trump whatever the influence is that makes them align with the commercial forces.
Yeah, I was a newspaper reporter for a long time, and I'm beyond frustrated with the coverage of medicine and science by the mainstream media these days. I think I don't really understand it, but for example, no news major newspaper has touched the Stardi story, and it is a scandal on a platter for a newspaper. And people have been approaching the New York Times, et cetera, about writing about this. I think it is that, when I first was a reporter, I initially was covering politics and that sort of thing and business. And when you're covering politics and business as a reporter, you expect people to lie to you. You know they're telling you a story and you can be critical about them. But then when you move into the science point of the medical reporting, you're sort of told, oh, these people are up on a pedestal now. These people, these scientists, they're like little gods. And your job is to translate what they tell you so you make it known to the public. But you're not really seen as being able to criticize the people that come from Harvard and come from Stanford and come from Johns Hopkins. They're seen as the truth tellers, or those who know and who society is supposed to trust. So one of the problems is they don't, there's just not this feeling you can contradict the conventional scientific and medical wisdom. You don't have the standing to do so, which and it's a real journalism failure. Because one of the things we've been talking about here is a lot of the academic medicine got captured by we say captured by the pharmaceutical industry, because they start paying these guys to be their consultants, thought leaders, and advisors. But somehow that doesn't translate into a challenging of the actual stories told by these medical establishments. But it is a failure of journalism not to be writing about this, and not to be questioning about this, and not to be raising questions about the why we're falling behind in terms of a life, how long we live. And you hear stuff like, what is the average 60-year-old on like four meds now or something crazy like that? And kids are on drugs. There should be st stories about what has happened that we're consuming so much medicine and we're not getting any results.
So the bottom line of all this is, I could ask you a lot more questions and you could explain in more detail, but for many of us, we get the point that a lot of the information we're getting is not accurate. So what do we do as the public? What do we listen to? What do we not listen to? The goal is for us to be accurate. We're not trying to be anti-everything. So how do we know what to listen to, what to do, what to take, what screenings to get? How do we know when we're just being treated as a customer so they can make money? And how do we know when we're doing something that's in our own best interest?
You go first, John.
All right. Well, my answer is just shamelessly self-serving. I spent more than 10 years in litigation. I know what's in those corporate computers. I know the way it's misrepresented. I know the way that study results are biased, and I know the extent of injuries that go on. And I spent 6 years writing Sickening because this knowledge wasn't getting out to the public from the court. What I have to say is in Sickening. And I think if you want to be an informed reader, if you want to be informed about mental health, Bob's done an amazing job of making this information available, Mad in America. If you want to know about general medicine, the book Sickening, I think you got to read it and then loan it to your doctor and make it the basis of a conversation that we're both doctor and patient are struggling to figure out what to do in this polluted epistemological environment.
But this is a real problem. Where does the pub, how does the public direct its own health, so to speak? If you have an environment where information is corrupted, and yet it comes with this imprint of JAMA Psychiatry or JAMA or Lancet or whatever, that's a real public health dilemma, that you have your respected medical literature that you can't trust. And what does the individual do? I don't know. I will tell you myself is I'm hesitant to go to doctors unless I have a real need now, because I don't trust all the screening stuff. I don't trust all the sort of like efforts to get us to take drugs all the time. I mean, it's a real problem. It leaves us all in a sort of a place of darkness regarding our own health, about what to do. Where do we go for good? It's a real problem that we can't trust our medical journals, that we can't trust the evidence base. And as Dr. Abramson was saying, we really can't even trust the integrity of the medical schools anymore. They've been bought too. At least I thought that's what you were saying, Dr. Abramson.
It is. So they're dependent on the drug company money. They need that money to they need to attract the drug company research money
Yeah.
for their operating expenses. And so they need to contract on those terms. But one thing, I don't want to leave a 100% bleak message because it's really important to remember that no more than 20% of our health is determined by healthcare. And a very small percentage of that 20% is determined by new healthcare and new biotech innovation. And 80 or 90% of our health is determined by the lifestyle choices we make. So the big message here ought to be optimistic and liberating, which is do what you can. The pills aren't going to fix you when you're not doing what you can do to maintain and improve your health. So be liberated in this sense of taking control. Half the American Cancer Society says half of cancer deaths aren't going to be fixed by the latest $200, $500,000 a year drug. Half of cancer deaths could be prevented by adopting healthy lifestyle. Now that ought to be the headline. When we hear there's going to be a cancer moonshot and all these expensive new drugs, the American Cancer Society says half of cancer deaths could be prevented by healthy lifestyle. So the message I'd like people to take away, we're talking about all the skeptical stuff and the dirt that we've learned over our years of trying to find the truth, but it's really a liberating message, which is take care of yourself and your family. Don't be mesmerized into this new biotech innovation story that that's going to rescue you, that that's going to be what makes you healthy. 80% chance that, or 90, that what's going to make you healthy is taking care of yourself and your family.
That's a
Robert,
great message. That's a great
Robert,
message.
how
Yeah,
do
go ahead.
we follow up with you? How could we help you? How do we get in touch with you, with your books, your website? What's the best way?
Well, you can go on madinamerica.com. That's the website. It's easy to go get onto. And I'm really easy to reach. You can reach me at my email is available there, but it's just Robert period B period Whitaker at iCloud.com. And it's all lowercase. And I try to answer everybody who emails me. So that's the way to get a hold of me.
And is there anything our audience could do to be supportive to you and your work?
Well, you can subscribe. We do have a little bit of our science material now behind a subscriber paywall, just because we're trying to survive financially, and it's like $20 a year to subscribe. And we just implemented this because we're going broke. So if they subscribe to Mad America at $20 a year, that's a big help. And we have daily science reports, so it's pretty cheap.
Thank you. And Dr. Abramson, how would we follow up with you, with your books, with your work, and what could we do to support you?
Please read the book. If you can't afford the book, email me at johnabramsonmd, excuse me, johnabramsonmd@gmail.com, and I'll send you a manuscript. Be fair about it. But you got to read the book, and you got to give it to your doctor. This information, it's like we have a nuclear reactor, and there's such strong information, but there are control rods in the reactor, and it won't, those control rods put in there by the commercial interests won't allow a chain reaction to get going so that the public and physicians can understand this. So I think at this point, all of us who understand this and are concerned about it, have to become activists. And being an activist might be talking to your spouse about this, legitimizing this discussion amongst your friends. But it's not going to change unless the American public says we're not going to take it anymore.
Okay, we really, really appreciate the fantastic work both of you are doing, and we really love both of you guys and really are grateful for the time and effort. It's a tough world out there, and it's really great to know that there are people on our side who are still fighting ferociously, especially such brilliant, smart people like yourself. So we are all behind you. So can we unmute so everyone can have a chance to say thank you?
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.